You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
There he is, one of the all-time favorites in the history of our show, Ron McGill. Look at him. He's one of the all-time favorites.
I would say he's the favorite.
I don't know. I mean, he's got the highest Q rating I know of. No one doesn't like Ron McGill, excuse the double negative. He did a book with Greg Cody. He got Greg Cody to work hard. That is hard to do at this stage in his career, but he made Greg Cody care about an animal as well.
I wrote a book. Without working.
A what?
You wrote a what?
A book. Sorry. I don't know what happened there. Stugatzbook.com.
Let's have that as the promotion, please. Let's have that be the commercial for I wrote a book.
I wrote a BIC.
Order today, and you get an autographed copy of my BIC.
You wrote a razor.
There's no selling out around here. We try to keep it about the art. And the book that they did together, I will tell people, because we're selling books around here today.
Yeah.
Greg, you, when I make the joke, I don't know that you've made a lot of adult friends late in life because you respect them so much that you would take the time to work very hard for a year to craft the book about his story. I feel like you and Ron became friends in there, and I don't know you to make friends late in life.
Right. I wouldn't have done the book, and I was thrilled to be asked. I wouldn't have done the book if Ron wasn't such a generous person, great at what he does, a champion of animals and wildlife, an institution in South Florida. Everything about Ron made me want to work with him. And also, it was something I'd never done before. I'd never not written sports. And so for the year or so that we collaborated on this book, it was a joyful side road for me to take. I love everything about it. I'm thrilled the way the book came out, and I'm glad it's doing well.
But are you friends?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yes, we are. I think we were friends before then, weren't we?
Well, we go way back, but I think we were casual friends. You know, I think we were like friendly acquaintances and everything.
I never had you over my house for bacon.
That's true. And boy, that bacon was
so good.
It's
good bacon. Oh, my God. It's good bacon.
We ate it a couple of days later, believe it or not, and it was just fantastic. Best bacon I've ever had.
That's right. Greg's wife has never shut up about it.
Best bacon I've ever had.
I don't intend to throw a wrench in this friendship. You know me, I'm not one to do so, but I was looking on the social medias the other day, and I saw Ron promoting that he was going to be at an art museum, and he was going to be telling the story of Quasi. And I said, you know what? I think that's Greg's story and Ron's story together. And now it seems like Ron's going on tour telling Quasi's story, sans Greg. And it rubbed me a little bit the wrong way. Kind of felt
Billy.
Yes, sir.
Listen. The Panthers are in the playoff. The Heat's are in the playoff. It's not like Greg doesn't have a ton of stuff on his plate.
Perfect,
so I'm trying to pick up the slack promoting the book because both of us benefit when I promote the book.
Yes.
And I think he's just too busy. Plus, he looks like a freaking truck hit him. I don't want to put him in front of a bunch of kids looking like that. It's going to scare him.
It would. You know what? Ron promoting the book without me rubs me in the right way, baby. And let me tell you why. I did two combined book promotions with Ron. One was at his zoo, and one was at Books and Books. They both attracted sellout crowds. They were wonderful events, and now I am thrilled that he is still promoting the book on the ground floor, without me, because as he says, I have a lot on my plate with work, plus I have almost no interest in, you know, speaking to a 35 women at a book club.
You got to sell books.
I know. I mean, unless they're all buying the Pride of the Lion.
What do you mean?
Just sold 100 more. Just sold 100 more.
What did you just do? Wait, you have.
Yeah, edit that out, what I just said.
What kind of authoring promotion is that to say I wouldn't go ever to be with 35 women at a book club who are there to buy my book?
I mean, because Ron loves that enough for both of us. He's built to do
and
that.
It was actually about 60 women, and it was great. They there all bought books. It was great.
Perfect. Let's be honest. Who do you want showing up to that event, Ron or Greg?
Exactly.
No, but I don't understand. It's not about who do I want showing up to that event. How are you actively against the people who are giving you money to buy a book and don't want to be around them?
I am actively for people who buy this book. They're some of my favorite people.
You just don't want to meet them.
Okay, you just don't want to be in their presence.
They're book lovers, and I love them. Believe me.
But you wouldn't want to go to something like this.
Well, not particularly.
Fair.
You know.
But this is how a book gets promoted. Books aren't doing great, you know, Greg?
Yeah,
books,
this one is.
Books, no, but I'm just saying, in general, reading.
Right.
Reading is not something that people are putting in their hands anymore.
Wait, well, what?
It's true. I mean, nowadays, people listen to a book and they call it reading. Bulletin. Right. If you listen to a book on not an reading. Audio thing, Thank you haven't you. Read a book.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I've read plenty of books.
I'm sorry.
But your pick's going to be on audio, isn't it?
If you listen to a book, you haven't read a book. Mm-hmm. I mean that literally.
If you've read Heat 2 and I've listened to Heat 2, we both know the same amount about Heat 2.
Okay. If this is how you listen to a book, if this is how you read a book in your earbuds, you're consuming a book. But you're not reading a book. Reading is a tactile experience. You have the book in your hand.
Okay.
You're actually physically turning
Semantics
pages.
Semantics game.
Okay.
But I've consumed that book just as well as you've consumed it.
You have consumed it, but not as well.
Mm. What do you mean?
You've taken the secondhand road.
Yeah.
You've taken the easy way
Who are
out.
You to tell me reading retention is better than audio
you know
retention?
Who's
I'm an audio
that,
file.
You know who's reading that book? The
Who?
Person speaking to you is reading that book.
That's yeah. True. And then they did a bang-up job. Okay. You should hear the De Niro and Pacino impressions. Okay, it's the same guy.
Okay. Really? You know what? People agree with me.
Mm. Wait, what do you mean people
book,
agree with
if you?
You
don't, He's if right. you're hearing a book, you're not reading a book. I'm not degrading people who do the audiobook thing. No. I'm just telling you, it
yes,
is not.
Yes, you most certainly are.
It is not a book reading experience.
Greg, you're going to do it. The audio version of a book.
I mean, I don't know. Ron, is this even out on an audiobook? I have no idea.
If you and him did it, and he. Wait a minute. Wait
I would
minute.
Read the shit
wait
out of
minute.
That book.
So wait, oh, so wait. So
audio.
This, I can't believe you guys haven't already thought of this.
Ron has to do this.
Wildly unsurprising. Yeah.
Quasi.
What Mike Ryan is. If you guys were to do it that way, with Billy popping out of the shadows
well,
saying
on,
Quasi's name
this.
That way.
Yeah.
If you guys,
Dan's got a lot of ideas for book companies.
He really
what
does.
I would say. If,
He's
if,
a delegator.
If Ron and Greg. Poured into the evolution of book promotion, an audio version of this book with the sound effects that Ron makes. You just said that you're having a better experience than reading because you get the Pacino impersonator. It's not even, and he's saying
Did
no.
Did you know that Pacino says that it's not well known, but that character that he played in Heat was a coke addict? They just wanted to be very subtle with it.
Okay, that's
and
why
his performance was pretty
that's
subtle,
why he
if you recall it correctly.
It. Yeah, okay, understood. But they never had him using cocaine. The point is, Greg, you're actively not promoting your book. You're being against your customers.
No.
Oh, he is promoting it. Every time I see him, he's got the book right in front of him. That's
Thank
more than
you.
I can say.
Thank you. I'm promoting it right now.
Exactly.
It's a life-size book. It's not a giant placard
yeah.
like that.
It's also flashy. When I read a book, all up in here. I don't need to be showing people.
Is that right?
Right
when you, by the way, when you read a movie script, you haven't seen that movie.
I've seen it in my head.
Wow.
Okay. I've read plenty of scripts.
That's a great analogy, Greg. I got to go with Greg on that one.
Thank you, Ron.
There's just there? Something to it, Greg, where you touch the pages, you feel the ink on your fingers.
Tactile.
Oh, tactile.
Tactile sensation.
That's right.
It, the book even has a smell.
It has a smell.
Ooh,
oh,
do I smell
take
Quasi?
A whiff. Oh, take a whiff of that.
Mm, it's like perfume.
Oh,
look at this beautiful lion. Look at this beautiful lion.
I'm a bit disturbed that at this stage in our career, the Ron McGill segment has become, I wrote a bick. Selling Stugatz's book, and it's become It Rubs Me the Right Way, Baby, as
baby!
We just completely hey, sell out asking the listeners to read.
Tactile.
I mean, pick
or
up
listen.
A, when I say pick up a book, I mean it literally. Don't pick up an earbud.
Well, Greg, if your book was an audiobook, would you be all in favor of people listening to your book?
It would be wonderful. Okay. But I would still prefer they actually read the book itself.
But you're understanding that more people would buy it if you and Ron were doing the reading, correct?
Yeah, that's a problem.
But are you not understanding the evolution of the medium that would make reading a different thing for a different generation?
I have spoken to the Miami Herald about that. You can click on a certain thing on my column and have somebody dictate my column to you. But it's like an electronic, it's probably AI. It's an electronic voice. It's not me. I have volunteered to put my columns in my own voice, and they never followed up on it.
Okay, but newspapers aren't exactly thriving.
An audio newspaper, though, they were. Dan, that would be that's an idea.
Game changer.
But it's a way to increase traffic. And
it's called the podcast,
I agree with Greg. You can go to the
New York Times does one. Pablo Torre did one for a while. Now he's doing one with us.
No, but every story in the Herald that goes, if you don't have time to read, click here to listen, and it sounds like a robot. It takes away totally the effect of the article.
100%. That's and I grant you, it's a small example, but it's a way to maybe get a few extra readers.
No, newspapers have failed to evolve.
Right.
That is correct. It's one of the reasons that they're failing. And correct. They were taken out so easily. That's one of the things that's appalling about everything that has happened to the American information system. Mm-hmm. Books are not thriving either. But one way to get them to thrive is to meet with 50 people at a book club.
And thank God Ron's doing it.
Yep.
And to promote the idea that this should be read in whatever way you choose to consume the information.
Right.
I can't believe that you're shaming me. I'm a target demo right here, and you're just telling me I'm not good enough to consume your book.
Look, I'm happy.
I help your bottom line.
I'm happy that you're consuming books. What I'm saying is I think you're cheating yourself out of the experience.
You've never had LASIK surgery. It's know what reading does to my eyes.
He has a preference. That's all
he's saying.
It's a
conscious decision that I'm making.
He would like you to read the book, not listen to it.
That's fine.
But he's okay with you listening to it.
He doesn't seem okay with it.
Well, I think he's okay when he gets money.
He's very highfalutin.
No, he's saying he's fine with you consuming it. You're just not reading it is what he's saying. Yeah. Tactile.
Like if you listen to a book, just don't say, yeah, I read that book.
No, I read it.
You didn't.
I can. And I will.
Okay.
You can't smell an audiobook.
Thank you.
I wrote a book.
Thank you, Billy.
It's going to make me laugh every time.
I wrote a book.
It's the perfect. That's the perfect way to promote it. We have to create a commercial around this. This is what has to stop the advertising train of Stugatz right here.
I wrote a book.
There it is.
Just I wrote a book.
Build it all around that.
Fast read.
There's nothing in there.
I wrote a book.
He's just taking money from the audience.
Hypothetically, if I were swallowed by a large anaconda, and I understand that it breaks the bones and whatnot, but if you've seen the late 90s film Anaconda, John Voight gets regurgitated and he even winks at Jennifer Lopez. Is that humanly possible to remain consciousness after partially going through the digestive tract of an anaconda?
It is possible, not probable, assuming that the head is still out and you're able to breathe. You can certainly get some very bad enzyme burns into the legs and such. But as long as you're able to breathe, which I don't think is going to be the case, because an anaconda is not going to start swallowing you until you stop breathing, until it's choked the life out of you. They don't crush your bones or anything. They just, they constrict around the vascular system and they don't allow you to breathe. So it's not going to start swallowing you until you're dead.
The Key West crocodile, saltwater crocodile, featured in Roadhouse, killing a man. Mike Ryan told me I was a fool for thinking that that was a ridiculous scenario. Am I a fool for thinking that a ridiculous scenario?
I didn't see the scene, but there's nothing being foolish about the ability of a large crocodile to kill a human. It's been done, unfortunately, many, many times. It's not something that people need to panic about. Every time you see a crocodile, the crocodile's out to kill me. That's not the case. But the crocodile certainly has the capability to do so.
You should be wary, though, in any marina that has saltwater crocs, because oftentimes saltwater crocs are hanging out in that marina because people are throwing fish into the water after they take back their hauls for the day. So if anything goes in the water, especially a henchman, that saltwater croc is going to pounce.
Well, yeah, and you don't have to say saltwater croc. Crocodiles here in Florida are not true. They're crocodiles that can be found in salt water, but the true saltwater crocodile is only found in Australia. That is a man killer. They can get to be over 18 feet. That's a very different crocodile than the one we have here, even though the crocodile we have here, the American crocodile, can be found in salt water.
Let me show you something here, video of a zebra. Tell me what we're watching here, Ron. Zebras, what are they doing?
They're standing in the middle of the street. This is probably in a place, I don't know, maybe South Africa or such.
Washington.
North Bend.
That's Washington.
North Bend, Washington State.
Oh, then they got out of a...
You don't think they're indigenous?
No, they're not indigenous.
So they're not invasive.
I said what I said first because I have seen this in Africa where zebras will cross roads in different areas. They have, you know, they transition through different areas and sometimes it's through a bit, you know, habitated places. But no, these are obviously zebras that were somebody's little herd that they had in one of their sanctuaries or one of their little, you know, wild exotic animal resorts.
What is the danger of something like that to either the zebras or us?
The dangers to the zebra that's going to get hit by somebody. Zebra's going to run away from you. If you try to corner one, it can kick you. They can bite you. They can be really, but they're not going to come after you for no reason unless it's a mare protecting her foal. Zebras are not, you know, it's like coming across horses. They're going to run away from you if you give them a way out. If you don't give them a way out, you corner them, they can be very, very dangerous.
Ron, it seems like there's more and more scenes like that where you see animals on streets, animals that have gotten loose from somewhere. I'm curious, in the history of Zoo Miami, what have been examples of an animal getting loose and all of a sudden wandering among people in the zoo, and has that ever been a perilous situation?
We've never had an animal kind of wandering amongst the people in the zoo. We have had some hoofstock, you know, antelope, deer, that have jumped out of an exhibit something startled them, whether it be a loud clap of thunder or something like that. And as soon as they jumped out of the exhibit, they realized, oh my gosh, I'm in a place that I'm not familiar with. They jump right back in. So that's something that has happened, but it's never presented a danger to the public.
Ron, thank you, sir. If anyone wants to support the things that Ron is doing, it's money that goes straight to conservation and, of course, his Cadillacs and his upgraded wardrobe. But he's the one handling everything. There's no bureaucracy, and you'll just help people. Like, if you want to care about jaguars, and you could do so by buying the Pride of a Lion by Greg Cody and Ron McGill. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Take care.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. As you guys may or may not know, I'm a pretty decent cook, especially behind the barbecue. So when I start the fire from my smoker on a hot day, really, the only thing that I have to worry about is what wood I'm going to use. The easiest decision for me is what I'll be drinking. That's a nice ice cold can of Miller Lite. Oh, and by the way, here's a pro tip. It really goes well with brisket. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, and tastes as great as your barbecue. A perfect companion for grill masters across America. With the Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
It's that time again. The NBA playoffs are here. And boy, wouldn't it be cool to watch an NBA playoff game in person? Heck yeah, it would. And what better way to do so than by getting tickets on Game Time? Game Time's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off, which is perfect for people like you who don't plan things out. Or you're just really busy and you don't know you're going to have time to go to a game until the day of the game. And if basketball's not your thing, well, guess what? I'm on the Game Time app right now, and what's this? Oh, Megan Thee Stallion is coming to town. I could also see Bad Bunny or Blink-182, Shakira, and more, because Game Time has tickets to all the high-profile events, not just sports. You know some of my favorite features on Game Time? I can go on the app, and I can see the view from my seats, because sometimes it looks like they're going to be great, but I have no idea until I get there. But with this feature, I can actually see. Plus, they have the lowest price guaranteed. And as I mentioned, last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying your tickets last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Plus, Game Time has flash deals, zone deals, all-in pricing. They've got it all, plus the lowest price guarantee. Or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. And at Game Time, you always get the Game Time ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed.
Don Lebatard.
The elephant went into a 7-Eleven and bought a pack of cigarettes. But my question to Ron is this.
Stugatz.
That joke didn't really land the way you wanted it to, did it? And we all just stared
at it. Didn't land at all.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Greg, we cut you off. You had some Miami Heat thoughts for us, and I want to get back to this. But I just, before I do so, it's being reported now that Joel Embiid has missed shoot-around this morning with a migraine. His status for tonight's game remains questionable. My instinct on Joel Embiid is to feel bad for him. I can also go the other route and say, you know what? He's under it. Doesn't really need to go to shoot-around this morning. Stay at the hotel. Don't even go out in the street. It's okay, Joel. Everything's hurting right now. Just go home and be at the game.
Just be there for tip-off?
Yes. Yeah, well, right. I don't know that I would say migraine. If it is indeed a migraine, I would feel very bad that the pressure that this person is under is making his face fall apart. Like, he's already played a playoffs wearing a mask. He's under a great deal of duress. I know these guys are muscles on top of muscles, and we expect them to endure everything. But he's a human being, and he's been saying with Jokic for 2 years, I'm the MVP. Here it is. Like, his career has a chance to blossom, or he will be left behind because Anthony Edwards is here now and Jason Tatum is here now. And the league is going to be fought over the next few years. And this is what Philadelphia has wrought for 15 years of losing and embarrassment.
What he'll have to do, which I think he's trying to avoid, is just join other superstars and try to create a super team elsewhere or in Philadelphia. That's what he's trying to not do.
I would not blame him or say it's cowardice if he does so. This is the weight these people are under. We are making fun of Kevin Durant. Stugatz, what just happened in Phoenix is pretty damn interesting, man. They mortgaged everything for right now, and they got caught between the league is being taken over by young people, and this is the year that Durant and Steph and LeBron, we can all say, oh, you're not close. It's a new time. Like, maybe you can hang on somewhere, but not the way you're built, not where you live now. The league's been taken from you. A guy in Denver took it, and he's got a whole bunch of people coming for him now who are OKC. Stugatz, that starting lineup in OKC. 99.5% of its points are being scored by people under 25 years old.
Right.
That's never happened. This young team, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, people are about to learn, oh, he's Anthony Edwards adjacent, and they're coming for the ogre. Like, they want Jokic, and everybody wants Jokic, but you're about to see where history gets made, stories get told, and everyone is impressed by Anthony Edwards, and God almighty, what a cool moment for Anthony Edwards to have his favorite player say that Anthony Edwards is his favorite player.
That's awesome.
What a torch for Kevin Durant to give to Anthony Edwards, that he is considered Kevin Durant's favorite player, and Kevin Durant loses to him in a sweep. Get out of here. You're the first team out. And he says, your league, kid, you're my favorite player.
I can't believe we're living in a world where I'm excited for Nuggets and T-Wolves. I mean, what a great series that's going to be.
It's a great series.
Amazing.
And you will hear now all of this that falls on Embiid. Karl Anthony Towns is going to get it for the first time. Anthony Davis has lived under it for a while. It's unpleasant. Like, I know we think these guys are giants, but it sucks, man. Thursday night, Charles Barkley, you're Anthony Davis. You're 30 and 15. He's saying, more street clothes. More. That's who you are. Yeah, I know you're great. More. We're Hall of Famers, me and Shaq. Are you going to be one? Like, one of the things I find fascinating about what just happened last night, I can't talk. Yeah.
Everyone gets in.
Yeah, no, but definitively.
Yeah, for sure.
Emphatically is.
Yes. One of the things that I just love about the storytelling of this time of year is that the demands on these people feel superhuman. I just told you, I'd be scared to be Joel Embiid tonight. Man, New York's obnoxious, Stugatz. New York is great. New York, you want this fandom. It is so loud.
May I ask you, what is it specifically about Joel Embiid? Because you feel more sorry for him than anyone else in the national media landscape.
And he's not alone, by the way.
I understand. Like, he's got slight facial paralysis that in some cases often stresses the cause of it. Sometimes it's other things, but he can play out there. He's shown you that he can play it. I don't know why you're feeling so bad for Joel Embiid. He's had it pretty good over there. They've brought in superstar teammates for him. He's got to deliver.
He was delivering to near historic proportions before he got hurt this year. MVP waiting to happen again before he got hurt.
And he's putting up 50 burgers. And I understand he's not the two-way force that he used to be, but he's going up against like Jalen Brunson.
Okay, but so this is my point, and this is where I would tell you the stories to me are the most interesting, because I believe LeBron James getting knocked out of the playoffs last night, dominating all of the discourse for 20 years and making the league so much stronger than it was based on the strength of I'll be the next Jordan. The amount of pressure that we put on this human being for 20 years makes it so we're still arguing, is he the greatest? Well, what he's done for 20 years should be celebrated and applauded. Like, wow, amazing, huge pressure all the time. And now it goes out the door and gets fought over the remains of it. What Kobe left, what Michael left.
Everyone's chasing that ghost.
That's correct. But in the heat of how cruel LeBron James's age was, he's not the first social media athlete, but this crew remembers when LeBron James joined Twitter, and this crew here remembers the voice that carried as he took over the sport. That guy conquered it all, and I believe we were cruel to him on the ascent and felt entitled to it. Be better than Jordan. It's a big ask. For the Embiids of the world, some men will live up to it. Some will lose to Antetokounmpo or Jokic.
Well, if you're just comparison shopping on pressure and stress on the body, Embiid, again, charmed existence compared to what we saw with LeBron. LeBron found a way. Now I know it is unfair to assume that Joel Embiid can be that kind of player. We're talking about top two all time with LeBron James. But he is an MVP. He is one of the greats, and he has never gotten out of the second round. Do it. You're going up against a team that is missing a max contract. This is not an overwhelming Knicks team.
No, it's not.
You're going up against Jalen Brunson. I mean, Dan, you're going up against Jalen Brunson.
He's supposed to be a better superstar than Jalen Brunson.
And to Mike's point, it's a great one. LeBron really went through it. Embiid hasn't been through anything yet. LeBron went through it for decades.
Agreed, Stugatz? By comparison, nothing. But I will just place in front of you the process, short-circuited mentally, not one but two first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz fell apart mentally. I'm just telling you, the pressure cooker can eat up human beings. And you can say, do more. And his body can hurt and he can give you 50 and he doesn't get the rebounds in the fourth. I understand. I'm simply explaining to you, LeBron James conquered that pressure cooker and you and Skip Bayless were chasing him the whole time. You're not as great as you think you are. That falls on Joel Embiid tonight. And I'm just telling you, the guy that overcomes it, I applaud it. Bravery.
LeBron took out the Pistons. Look at the team that he had. He conquered it with, like, Drew Gooden. You've had Harden. You've had Simmons when everyone rated him highly. You had Jimmy Butler. They gave Tobias Harris a big contract. You have Daryl Morey, who's reputed to be one of the best GMs there. You've had good coaches come in and out of there. You have a former champion head coach right now. Like, he's got to – at a certain point, you got to live up. Or this is – what happens on the other side of that coin?
I root for the best stories. The best story tonight is Joel Embiid, not healthy. Now he's got Bell's palsy, walking into the viciousness that can be MSG up that crowd.
It's a great story. The whole thing, this is what I love. This is what I love about playoff basketball.
And Taylor's going to be there.
Right. Oh, where is Taylor? Where is he
on
right
a train.
Now? No, he's very close.
He's going to meet up with us soon.
Fans have been buying him snacks all along the Eastern Seaboard and running it out to trains. Taylor is taking a 28-hour train that will drop him off stinky, 28-hour stinky at MSG. That's what Embiid's walking into New York's ass crack today. It's been on a train for 28 hours.
Don Lebatard.
Let's go to 80.
His Bo. Name is Bo.
Wow. I think Billy typed an 8 instead of a B. Fine.
It's a clear as day.
All right. $2.
Stugatz.
Number 80. Go ahead. It's Chris Corner on the line. CC. Go ahead.
This is the Don Lebatar Show with the Stugatz.
I wrote a book.
It really is amazing advertising. You can't dispute that it's amazing advertising. We have to figure out a way to continue to trump up how giant a book this is going to be, because Stugatz really does have all these people working for him. And this is a big day, the day that we're announcing his book cover, even though we did it 5 or 6 days ago. Because the book is going to come out. It is being published by Random House.
It is. Stugatzbook.com. Today you get an autographed copy. How about that? And an insert. A special insert. A book snake.
The Random House, or just like a Random House?
I made
the
that joke house. In the foreword. Yes. I was hoping to say that you just took it from me. It's okay. It's all right. No more Stugatz book jokes. I need them.
Well, it looks like it's Porchlight that is publishing your book.
Oh.
If you order on Porchlight between now and Thursday, you get an autographed copy. Yes. Yeah. And an insert, special insert, a book snake.
Who's the publisher? Do you know?
Random House.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
That is a Random House logo on there. Right. I think that's right. Their logo. Yeah. Yeah.
Must be. None of us were sure.
Now, here's a question a lot
nervous
of people,
for a second.
Question a lot of people are asking, Stugatz, is what if they pre-ordered the first time you asked them to pre-order? Now they're not getting an autographed book or they're not getting a bookmark? Because people started pre-ordering in February when you asked them to.
Talk to Random House. Send them that way.
Because it would seem as though...
I'll take care of everyone. Don't worry about it.
It would seem as though the longer you wait, the more desperate Stugatz will get and the more you will get.
I will sign any book that is put in front of me. Okay? I don't care where you're from, when you bought it.
Does it have to be your book?
Stugatz, how do you roll this out in a way that makes the people who want it most get the least for their dollar?
I'm just following Random House's lead here. I mean, they're telling me what to do and when to do it, and so here we are.
Now they can't get a book snake.
Oh, well, I'll get him one. Don't worry about it. Are you saying the people who ordered before today?
You said pre-order before, you get this. Now you say pre-order now, you get more.
I will bring this up to Random House on my next call, okay?
It appears to be on sale today, too.
You're actively stealing from the customers.
How about that?
You're making them buy. Like, the people who wanted the last ones are going to have to buy again.
Feel free to buy another.
They're going
to
be
$7 off today.
Yeah, buy
back
a dozen.
Now. Mm-hmm. Back now.
It is a good time to have your own brand, as Stugatz has learned. Jason Kelce parlayed his thing into an ESPN job. He could have had any job, and it appears that does this mean that RG3 is out at ESPN? Because I've read reports, but they're going to have to shake things up in order to make room for Kelce. And again, Stugatz, I will tell you, this is a fascinating thing to watch in the media age. When the athletes come for all of the great jobs and have their own brands, Jason Kelce has turned himself into what's going to be the most powerful offensive lineman voice there's been since John Madden. Like, since whatever it is, since Art Donovan. Like, you don't get to be famous as one of these offensive linemen. You know, Art Donovan did talk shows. Dan Dierdorf, like, you don't get to be famous unless you get a microphone and get more famous late in life. And this is what's going to happen for Jason Kelce being Taylor Swift adjacent. Great job for him. Great job for ESPN. He's going to be an obvious star. A beer belly everyman on your football.
He's already a star.
Telecast. No, yeah. But I'm saying a whole bunch of people who aren't necessarily listening to Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce's podcast. Stugatz,
yes.
Football is such a giant. No matter how big your podcast is, you sit on television and there are millions more who know your face and voice in a way they never did when you were a player. Not even Jason Kelce. Not even in Philadelphia. Not even in Philadelphia, where he is an icon. The football mask has always hidden these guys under stardom. Offensive linemen don't get this. And he could have had any job that he wanted in the media. Like, he could have literally made whatever move he wanted to in football. And I would love, if Amazon's going to make another documentary on them, I would love to see the business of what it's been to be the Kelces the last few years, because everything they've done to become non-quarterback voices for this sport. Stugatz, one of the fascinating things about all of the generational change around here is that football has survived going from the guys you loved, Roethlisberger and Romo and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. They're the league. They're the ones you know. Give them broadcasting jobs. Keep them in the media. Build the bridge to the future and celebrate Caleb Williams when he gets here, because the whole league is changing and it's Lamar Jackson and we want to keep this thing. Basketball's got a different problem. Basketball's got foreigners at the top of the sport. A lot of foreigners at the very top of the sport.
And a guy who can't jump.
He's a foreigner.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say foreigners being successful is a problem.
I would say it is because you want American stardom for American fans in basketball so that you can make the league change from the stars that were palatable before to, hey, if you don't like Lamar Jackson over here, are you sure that Anthony Edwards is ready to be face of the league at 22? Because there's some John Morant stuff there. Not the trouble stuff, but the perception stuff that doesn't allow a guy to be a face of a league because you want him to be Steph Curry or Jason Tatum or someone that has a Q rating that's palatable to customer, generic bland customer America who's not going to be offended by anything.
And it's never the offensive lineman, to your point. CBS got rid of Boomer and Sims yesterday and replaced them with a younger Boomer in Matt Ryan.
I would love to know the offers that Jason Kelce got before choosing that one. And this is another thing I'd love to know. If McAfee says and Peyton Manning say, hey, come over here, they're letting us run ESPN. Come over here. Come over here. They're letting us. The ESPN is going now into the star-making business. We're going to go $17 million personalities. We're going to help Shannon Sharp build his brand over
here. It's not really star-making. It's like established stars.
Right.
Come here now. They used to be a star-making vehicle where people would ascend there. And there's still like a couple of outliers. But now it's just like we have a talent budget. They're going to the top line. Come over here, use us, give you carve-outs.
I would love to know the bidding war that ESPN just won on Jason Kelce.
But do you guys think that Jason and Travis Kelce need anyone? Do they need Omaha? Because they stand on their own, right? Oh, Travis is as big a star as anyone right now.
Here's the thing, though, Stugatz, and this is the McAfee trade, man. He left FanDuel for less money, but this. And it was deals with Iger. Like, it's not even Pitaro. Hey, Disney's president. You need real help in streaming. What are you going to do, worldwide leader? Oh, we're going to buy some stars. Here we go. We've got to make football bigger, bigger, bigger. We're fighting streaming wars now, and we're playing with Iger. The athletes have gotten to Iger, Stugatz, and Disney's in a crucial business time. And all of this is fascinating because it's a new game. And Jason Kelce gets to play at the very top of it. He walks in through the front door and gets one of the best jobs, and it would have been the job of his choosing because Amazon would have wanted him. Everybody wants football. And I know people get tired. Our audience hates how interested I am in the media stuff. But if these guys are going to compete in business the way they did in sports, I want to watch that too.
It might end us.
Sounds boring just watching people compete in business. I'd rather them hit each other.
Yeah, that's how we prefer them.
Yeah. I mean, imagine them in suits just in a business room and you watch them go back and back in negotiation and just doing that game where you write things on a piece of paper and slide it back and forth. A boring, boring thing to watch, I would think.
Are you not interested in the mechanics of what it is that the Kelces are doing?
I am a little fatigued that everybody just has to have a brand now.
Why?
That's why I just, the more I watch this Jokic guy, the more I fuck with him. Yeah, he's just going to go out there, roll the ball out. I don't care about a brand. I don't need a podcast. I just want to race my horses, do my damn thing. Yeah. I don't even like this sport. I'm a brand. Get me the hell out of here. It's my brand. It's exhausting. High schoolers come into like college universities and talk about their brand.
But isn't this what NIL is? I mean, this isn't going to get any better.
It's just, it's not even NIL. People want to blame that. It's social media. You have to have a brand if you're an athlete. You have to have, no, man, some just get 6 rebounds a game, dude.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're a pulling guard. What are you talking about? Brand. Okay, I'll help you with your brand. That's what we can do for you.
Didn't Wembanyama just come up with a logo?
Yeah, that's Nike.
Wemby.
What was that name? Yeah.
Nike.
So you want to try
Wembanyama?
Yeah, he's right.
What did I say? Wembanyama.
Wemby.
You first time you kind of butchered it.
It's okay.
Wemby.
Can you just play for me, please? The music that just signals a little too late that people don't want to hear me talk about.
Do you get annoyed every time Dan Levitard pontificates about the sports media industry? Well, too bad, motherfucker. He knows you don't give a damn about what he's gonna say. It's time for Sports Media Talk Today.
I want to listen to some D'Angelo Russell sound. D'Angelo Russell betrayed us the
other
day.
Brand.
Another brand. This
notice a brand Kmart. What happened there?
It's just,
why
are
we rushing to be brands?
I don't know.
Toys R Us.
Specifically in my line
of
work.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Much of my day is just left sifting through like podcast pitches. And it's just like, I don't have the heart to say, like, you're You're not a brand. You're a pivot midfielder for the New England Revolution. Like, you're not a brand.
I could see where you would get tired of all of this, but I would assume that all of the things in athletic business are changing because every athlete...
Subscribe to my Instagram package and X, I guess is what they're calling it. It's just $2.99.
Right. Wow.
And that money goes directly in the pockets of women's basketball players here. So,
well, almost like you're a brand.
To their brands?
I mean, if I have to leverage my brand to help their brands, let's do it.
D'Angelo Russell, Stugatz, last night, he's been a very frustrating player for the Lakers. The other night, we lost a Thursday Thunder because we had D'Angelo Russell getting 17 points or over, and he scored zero that night. And D'Angelo Russell was asked here, because he's going to leverage his situation, his brand, which is returning to Lakers, right? This brand left and now returns to the Lakers, and they cannot count on him at the end of LeBron James' career. But this is what he had to say in assessing his season, because these couple of sentences together, when I read them, I laughed out loud.
Just looking back on the totality of everything, how do you view this season and what you feel like you proved?
Oh, hell of a year by D'Angelo. Humbly saying that.
Those two sentences back to back. Hell of a year by D'Angelo. Third person on your own name. Humbly saying that.
I love it.
Come on.
That's great.
You can't.
You can.
Oh, look, Taylor. That is Taylor. We've got to go. Taylor has now arrived finally in New York at Madison Square Garden after 28 hours. We go to Taylor. Look how happy he is. We go to Taylor next.
Since the dawn of mankind, we've cooked our food over an open flame and debated the best way to grill. One thing not up for debate, grilling and beer always go together. And not just any beer will do. Whether you barbecue Texas style or celebrate Wednesday with burgers and dogs, you need a beer that tastes great and is less filling, so you have more room for food. You need Miller Lite. As you guys may or may not know, I'm a pretty decent cook, especially behind the barbecue. So when I start the fire from my smoker on a hot day, really, the only thing that I have to worry about is what wood I'm going to use. The easiest decision for me is what I'll be drinking. And that's a nice ice cold can of Miller Lite. Oh, and by the way, here's a pro tip. It really goes well with brisket. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, and tastes as great as your barbecue. A perfect companion for grill masters across America. With the Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great, it tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right at your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.